Welcome to the Buy and Build podcast, the show where we explore the nuances of buying and building small businesses with the focus on the UK and Europe. We are your hosts. I'm Paul.
And I'm David. If you are interested in buying, building or investing in UK and European small businesses, this show will dissect the strategies and insights of business owners, investors and other deal professionals that we meet along our journeys to acquire and invest in profitable small businesses.
If you enjoy the show, please follow us on your favorite podcast app to stay up to date on all new episodes.
And join the Buy and Build community at buyandbuild.co, where we plan to share additional resources and ideas with this community. You can also find us on Twitter at Buy and Build Podcast. And now, on to this week's episode.
This week, I'm excited to announce the podcast's first sponsor, Mark2Market. Mark2Market is the most sophisticated deal origination platform that I've seen in the UK. So a little background here. I reached out to Mark2Market around a year ago to inquire about their platform for my own use. But given it was initially designed with private equity in mind, it was almost too robust for what I needed. But they have taken that feedback on board and they've created an amazing solution for the acquisition entrepreneur. For a very competitive subscription amount, you're able to access their robust data analytics platform to scale your proprietary search. So no need for a costly buy-side advisor. And they have an aggregation platform for on-market deals supplied by accounting firms and corporate finance houses, which are arguably higher quality than a lot of the listings out there that tend to result in unrealistic expectations and wasted time. So visit marktomarket.io/buyandbuild to sign up or book a free demo and let them know who sent you. And you can also get 2 months free if you sign up for an annual subscription. Hey everyone, just a quick disclaimer that there are moments in this week's episode where we experience a bit of static, but bear with it. The content in this episode is exceptional. Welcome to another episode of the Buy and Build podcast. I'm here today with Sebastian Perrault, and this is exciting. We've been trying to get a podcast in the books for a few months now, but you've been busy. And I think when we get into the reasons why, the listeners are going to know very, very well why you've been busy. So I guess currently your title is Chairman and CEO of the IAR Group, which consists of three companies in the automation and robotics sector. So from what I understand, the HQ is in Bern, Switzerland, but the group comprises of three companies in three different countries, which is fascinating. So you have, I believe, Specialist Services in the US, Backman Engineering in Switzerland, and Zugma, if I pronounce that correctly, in Portugal. What's additionally interesting, I think, is that you were actually just searching, I guess, less than a year ago. So, and you were searching probably for less than a year. So impressively, you were able to acquire very rapidly, not just one company, but three across three different countries. So I think you may be a pioneer in that regard. So this is really going to be an interesting conversation, and I'm excited to dig in. So perhaps we can just start with a 2-minute background on kind of yourself, your career leading up to deciding that you wanted to get into the search world and run your own business.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Paul, for the introduction. Yes, you're right. So currently I'm the chairman and CEO of the IAR Group, which has been created in September to acquire the three companies. For me, my search journey started already at the beginning of 2020. And it is when I discover what is a search fund, because my background is an engineer. I did an MBA. I used to work the last 15 years in the industry, machinery, industrial automation. And I was not really aware before starting my search about the search fund model. So yes, indeed, I discovered the search fund model at the Stanford University. At that time, I was doing a continuous education for my former employer. So I was interested in discovering international businesses. And within the program, I had the chance to make an exchange and go to the US, to the Stanford. I chose to go there primarily not because of the search fund, but because I'm doing some coaching for Swiss startups. And I wanted to go there to discover about this miracle of venture capitalism and startups over there. So I went there with that in mind to build my network over the startup environment. And during one of the lessons, the professor pointed out the other's entrepreneur model. And one of them was the search fund. And I can remember I was sitting during this lesson and say, this is exactly what I was looking for. After the lessons, we get some document with a list of funds that are doing that in the US. But as a Swiss guy, I don't want it to do that in the US. So I can remember I went back to my hotel room and then I go to my computer, open Google and type search for search fund in Switzerland. And at that time, I discovered Novastone. So Novastone was at the very beginning of the program. So they came across the two or three first search fund in Europe. So there are not a lot that are doing that. I remarked that they were looking for new entrepreneurs. So directly I take contact to Christian and Elena, send an email, reach out to them. And very quickly they invite me for a first interview. That was in person. So I make my first interview with both of them directly in person.
I didn't realize you had gone to Stanford and found out about that. And then kind of, I guess, timing was just worked out perfectly. Novastone was kind of just launching and you wanted to do it in and around Switzerland. And I guess that's where they started their base. They've expanded since. So yeah, that's extremely interesting. Maybe we could touch on a little bit about Novastone. We were mentioning just offline, I don't know the founders too well, but they were ex-JP Morgan folks. I do know a few of them and what they've done is really good. I think bringing the search space and kind of pioneering it around Europe is helpful. But what they do is a little bit different, perhaps. So I guess it's maybe more of an incubator, but is it self-funded, the search phase, and they kind of have a shared services, or do they actually help fund the search and then the acquisition? Can you give a little bit of background as to how that works?
For me, the first hurdle to pass for a search fund was, how can I convince co-investors? And I was just laughing about this boring PPM phase that is more the administrative part, because you need to spend time digging into a market that, for me, obviously, I was knowing, but again, putting some figure together, describing what you want to do. Already during that phase, I had the support of Novastone that bring me with some market research. And then I had they cross-check the PPM if it was fitting to what they co-investor want to see. Because one of the first big plus of Novastone is that they, once you are in the program, they open you their network of co-investors. So meaning that when I started the fundraising, I took some months to ride on the PPM because I was not under time pressure. I was still working under 100%. I was lucky it was the lockdown time. So I was in home office and my team was doing short time work. So meaning that at that time, I was also, I was less taken by my job. So I use this opportunity to write down this PPM. And then before sending it, I had to double check of Novastone. And then basically the first fundraising to sell the units was leaded by Novastone itself. So meaning that we decide together. Today, we are going to send the PPM out, and the network of investor was the network of Novastone. So basically, for me, it was very convenient because I did my part of the job. So writing on the PPM on the industry that I know, because I decide to make a focus search on my industry. And then the PPM was sent by the Novastone team to potential co-investor, and only a few hours after having sent the PPM, I already get some feedback of the co-investor say, look, Sebastian, look interesting. Could we have a video call or an in-person meeting? Which is great. And for me, because it was really that part that I didn't know at the beginning, or can I have access to these co-investors? And for this first phase, Novastone helped me a lot, definitely a lot, to get access to the co-investors. And finally, I close my fundraising. It was a good thing in December 2020, just before Christmas. So it was like a Christmas present. Okay, I'm funded, so I can go to the Christmas holidays with perspective for the next years.
Okay, interesting. So that was December 2020. You closed the search fund.
Exactly. So I closed the fundraising 2020, December 2020. I was still working 100%, so I need to to put my letter on the table. to negotiate my garden leave. And then I was able to reduce that to 2 months. And then I was starting searching on the 1st March 2021. It's a good coincidence. We are today the 1st March 2022. So exactly 1 year ago, I started my search. I realize that right now. So very good.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So this is really helpful just to get a sense of kind of where you were and maybe where you were a little bit concerned when you were jumping into search, but having the infrastructure in place that Novastone provided was really helpful. So 1st of March, you started searching. And in 2021, which, like you said, is just 1 year ago, but you've already been running 3 companies now for a few months. So how long were you searching? Did you, obviously you had your industry thesis. How did you go about searching? Was it first going to be just Swiss specific and then it kind of evolved, or how were you approaching the search process?
The search process, so my search was focused on the machinery and industrial automation, Germany, Switzerland, because in Europe, this is the 2 biggest country with machinery. Italy is not bad, but I'm not really an Italian speaker. So for me also, the language was something important. German, I can speak German fluently, so it was not a problem. And I decided to focus my search here. I prepare my search already a bit before the 1st of March, because as I'm coming from the industry, I already had in mind a short list of potential target companies. So meaning that the first day of my search, I was able to reach out to different business owners out of my network. So I focus in the first line, reaching out to company out of my network with a very, very personalized email. Most of the people, I cannot say that I was really best friend with them, but when you are in the industry, I know that with a lot of people, I already have contact, either because we see us on the trade show or in a conference, or maybe it was a customer of a customer or a partner. So with a lot of people, I already had some contact, or guests to have some contact. And then it was for me quite easy to reach out to the business owner, writing down an email. Look, this is my new project. I'm looking to acquire a business to make a management buy, in stepping as CEO after acquisition. And then a bit of background. I'm since 15 years in the industry. Maybe we already meet us at a trade show, something like that. And with this approach, I had a very good response rate. So basically 90% of the company I reach out responds to me. Sometimes with simply a no, no interest, but just a response. Sometimes with, I'm not willing to sell, but as you are in the business, as you probably will be a competitor, a partner, potential customer, let's have a coffee together. Let's just have a chat. So keep contact, which was great. I had 2 job proposals. Yes, I'm looking for the new CEO, not looking for selling the company, but I'm looking for a new CEO. You have a good profile. Maybe you can step in as CEO. My response was not yet, but if in 2 years I don't have a company, don't find a company, maybe it will be an option. So also I keep contact with these kind of people. So it was mostly about my search. Very direct reach out to business owner. Of course, I also go over broker. What I did is, I take contact with quite a lot of broker out of Switzerland, Germany. And then I was able to identify, let's say, 10 to 15 broker with interesting deals. And again, even if it was broker, I always try to have an in-person meeting with them just to get this feeling, to know the people. And it was working, because the broker, which one I had this in-person meeting, I was able to present myself to understand what they are doing. They sent me some very interesting deal proposal. Finally, I close property deals, but I get from the broker also some interesting deal. But to get the interesting deal from the broker, and this is my experience, is also about having a personal contact. So the search phase for me was really having personal contact with business owner, with brokers, with some M&A boutiques to get this. Yeah, it's all about... Finally, the search is all about you. So you, I mean, in terms of product, you are selling yourself as the future CEO of the company, with backed by co-investors, but finally you are selling yourself. For me, it was especially true in Germany, because all the time when I reach out to a business owner, it was like a pattern. I reach out, either I get an email back saying no interest, or I get within 2 days a phone call from the broker. And the first time I was surprised, it was like an interview. There was not interesting about the program, about the acquisition. They were only interesting about my background. And because basically sending the email, it was like applying for the job that the business owner have, so the CEO of the company. So they call me back, ask me about the background, if I know the company, if I was a good fit for the job of CEO of the company. And if I pass this first step and say, okay, I can imagine that you can then run the company, then I was invited for in-person meeting and then get more information about the company. So it was really like a job interview. The first time I was surprised, it went not good because I was prepared with the standard search speech about the project and so on. And then for the second call, I prepare myself. No, it will be an interview. So I need really to prepare myself about my career path, like for an interview. And this is what I did. And then I was able to pass this first hurdle and then to have some contact with business owner. Finally, with this very proprietary search, I was able quite quickly to identify one or two company that could be interesting. First in Switzerland and then out of my network and out of the Novastone network, I was able to also identify a company that was in the similar area, could be a good fit. At the beginning, I was talking about add-on acquisition, and with the time, it was more than just add-on acquisition to one deal. With the time, it's created really a deal with three complementary companies. The one in the US, it was a company I already knew in the past because the owner is a well-known person in this industry. Never had direct contact to him. I was introduced to him, but I knew the company as a good potential fit. It was not in my target focus, but once I heard that maybe there will be an option over there, I said, oh, why not having one entity in the US? The one in Portugal, Zaugma, the deal landed on my table over the Novastone network. And when I look the first time at the company, I say, wow, this is also a good fit to the group. And the one in Switzerland, Bachmann Engineering, I've been introduced to the business. So I knew the company from the past. So it was one of the target company I had on the list. And then I've been introduced over what we call the driver guide. So I had one or two very good driver guide in Switzerland, former CEO of group that also helped me to create these tractions on deals. So really proprietary. Yeah, to do so, I think one of the key advantages I had is that I know the industry. So I didn't start the search with trying to find out what the industry want or who are the players. So I knew that from the beginning, and I started the search with already, let's say, yeah, a shortlist in mind. As I told you, sending the 1st of March already 5 email to potential business owner that could be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's, you hear a lot of people kind of preach the benefits of attending trade shows and kind of getting into, you know, the networks of that specific industry. But a lot of searchers don't come from the industry in which they're searching. So it takes time to build that kind of profile and to get your name out there, whereas you already had that. So you were able to be very specific, very targeted. And then you have the experience to back that up. Like you said, when you're speaking to a business owner, or sometimes in your case, the broker, before you even get to the owner, they're interviewing you to see, can you actually own and run this business? And having that experience is obviously going to be incredibly helpful. But so that being said, that would maybe make the fact that you bought one company, you know, understandable, but you still went and bought three. So even though you had a kind of jump start, you still went and bought three instead of one, which is still very impressive. So it sounds like they all came together at a pretty similar stage. Did you kind of maybe didn't source them specifically at the same time, but it looked like you closed all of them on the same day, kind of same period. How did you kind of manage that process?
Yeah, then I identified the three companies. And I think also what's important to be said is Yeah, as I'm coming from the industry, I was able to see the synergies from day one. When I see the company, what they are doing, the project, the engineering team, I say, okay, look, we are going to have plenty of synergy if I can put all the companies together. For me, it was clear also in my PPM that, but this is specific to my industry. So the machinery industry is an export industry. And I'm truly seeing that you have global innovators. So companies that are successful are global innovators. So you have global technologies with local operation. And for me, as I know from this industry, I mean, you don't usually company, they are international. So they are exporting. And even if the company is one name, one company, usually the deal I had on the table, company had at least one entity, either a Swiss one with a German entities or something in China or something in the US or something like this. So for me, it was clear that, it was my wish also to have a small international group, either with one name. And then when I discovered this opportunity to make this buy and build strategy, building three of them and then putting all together, it was clear that it was a good thing. From the beginning with the business owner, I talked to them very transparently. So they didn't know who were the other three, but I talked to the business owner, say, look, guys, I have the aim to build a group. You are not the only one company I'm talking to. And the idea is to put all together from day one. And then from the very beginning of the discussion, I say, the goal is to close the deal. I put the date on September 3rd. So end of September, my goal is to have all the three deals closed. And I align all the steps of the due diligence in all the three companies to have this deadline fixed from the beginning. Why I put one deadline of closing the three deals? This is one of the limitations of the search fund. So search fund, basically you can make one capital call. So I don't add the chance to make two or three. So for me, for the shareholders, so today's shareholders, at that time co-investor, it was okay to make three transactions, but basically I prepare one deal. So for the co-investor, I prepare the higher group. So I make the whole business case on one group. So three entities, I consolidated already during the whole some acquisition phase, everything, and I make an operational plan to have all the three entities already consolidated into one group. And then we make one capital call. And because of this limitation, it was a must to have a closing that is all at the time. So I set the date. I succeeded in aligning all the three due diligences to make everything in parallels, to negotiate the SPAs with the business owner almost all together, and then to be able to close all the deals at the same time, not the same day, because the closing, it's something very emotional. So you need to be in person. You cannot close with a Zoom call. No, you need to be in person. But finally, I succeeded in aligning the three closing in 3 weeks. So the first one, I close in Switzerland, then I close in the US, and then I close in Portugal. Closing was different with Portugal and the US. I make the signing virtually, and then the closing physically with the Swiss one. I make a true closing signing in person, like you did in the past, signing the shares. So very, very great experiences. And this was the limitation. So I bet on transparency with all the business owner, telling that they are not the only one. I talk to them without selling the names. I talk to them about the project using synergies between the entities. And I set a deadline to have every step down in order for me to make one capital call to the co-investors.
That's impressive. And going to three different countries for three different closes must have been quite interesting. I'm curious, on the debt side and maybe the valuation multiple side, is it pretty consistent across the sector? Maybe first on the multiples, like were you paying similar multiples, assuming they're similar sizes? And then were you having to raise debt in three different countries to facilitate each of these three deals?
Regarding on the valuation, finally, we have some difference on valuation. The difference on the valuation was more depending on the margin of the company, the one that is doing a bit better, get a bit higher multiple, the other one get a bit lower. But I mean, I don't have a huge gap in the multiple. So maybe it's some percentage. Finally, as it was three companies, I was able to have a multiple that is, let's say, in the industry average. So it was good negotiation. And then, of course, for closing the deal in three different countries, the valuation, you have some differences. It's not really, we have some differences between Europe and in the US especially, but then it's not really bind to the country. It's more bind to the owner and the relationship you have to the owner and expectation of the owner. So I've dealing with three owner is dealing with three different persons, so people, and with three different emotional level. And this is influencing a lot the way you put finally everything on the table, not really on the price and on let's say the valuation, the price and the things, but more on the soft factor and some details and in the SPAs. And you have, depending on the sensibility of the business owner, you have some details according to their emotion. Someone want to have that, the other one want to have that. It could be some really small things, but this is small thing that at the end of the day, when you agree on the valuation, on the price, at the end of the day, this is some small details that matter if you can close or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, those smaller pieces of detail are often the things that mean the most to the owners, what I've noticed for, because I think when you get to price and deal structure, a lot of it, like you say, can be industry average, or there's kind of comparables where you can look and be like, okay, this seems fair, but then it's the softer things that can kind of build that relationship as due diligence goes on. What about the debt situation? Were you able to kind of raise debt from one lender and kind of use it across three countries, or was it each individual deal you needed to raise debt in those specific countries? Or how did that work?
No, because the deal structures to be able to buy three companies also from the beginning, I go to the bank. And then again, same as for the co-investor, it was one transaction. So the idea is to have the higher group buying the three company, and I make a senior debt at higher group at the holding level. So the lender is at, it's a bank, it's a Swiss bank. The Credit Suisse helped me during the transaction. I had some limitation with the lender, of course, because of the international structures of the deal. Small regional banks were not interested in doing that. So I get quite a lot of no from banks. For chance, in Switzerland, we have two big banks that are international active. And then the two of them say, yeah, interesting. And then I choose one of those that helped me also during the whole process very well, that were also able to meet the deadline, because it was quite short times also for a bank, because you need to go all through the legal department of the bank and risk assessment and everything. So it takes quite a lot of time to deal with the bank. And the Credit Suisse was also very responsive in that way. And finally, they helped me to reach the deadline to close the first deal on time. And yes, finally, I've won. And for me, it's great because like this, I've won, one lender. Because if you have several, it could be complicated, especially in case of problems. I mean, when you are in the acquisition phase, you see the opportunity. But then when you have to run the business, you are in the reality. We are in the market with customers. At some point of time, you need ready to negotiate again. And if you have too much partner, then it could be difficult in case of negotiation if something is happening with the business. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I guess, being able to close quickly and having those time constraints also helpful, having to just answer to one bank, because the due diligence the bank needs to do is also pretty extensive, like you mentioned. So having to do that over three times, it's not like it would be consistent. They'd probably overlap, but each bank would see risks in different places. So then you'd have to dig deeper onto all different areas depending on the bank. So that makes a lot of sense. So just keeping an eye on time, I want to dive into IAR Group. Now, I think you've given really good background into your searching and closing those deals, and we could probably spend a lot more time there, but I think it would be interesting to spend some time in the IRA group. Are you able to just give an idea of size of the company or the group thus far? I mean, whatever you're comfortable sharing. If not, feel free not to, but just to get a sense of kind of the scope.
Yeah, I can just give a scope in terms of staff. So currently the group is a group of about 100 people, a bit more, so spread in three countries. The US entities is currently the smaller ones in terms of staff, but it's the one that is growing quite fast. The one in Portugal is the biggest one, and in Switzerland is in the middle. If you know the average revenues per headcount we usually have in the machinery, you can also very quickly have an idea about the revenues of the group. This is about roughly the size of the group.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think obviously definitely an SME, but definitely not. I mean, you see a lot of deals getting done where there's just a handful of staff and it's very local and geographically constrained. And I think you're obviously doing things at scale. So it's incredibly impressive. And you mentioned earlier, you're looking to build a group. Are you looking for, you know, different targets in different countries now to kind of expand that international scope? Or are you also looking within the US, within Portugal, and within Switzerland to kind of build onto the existing companies you've acquired there?
So the strategy of the group, it's part also of the investment thesis. So in the industry we are, you have quite a lot of small companies, up to 20, 30 people. And usually to expand from local entities with 20 people to an international group, that is still a SME, but making the step from 20 to 100 is very risky, because it's always, where do I start? Because you are buying the customer not trusting you for bigger machinery because you are too small. So you need to invest in people to grow, to have access to other customer, but it's a very difficult phase. So within the group, finally, we can skip all of this. So we just jump from three small company to a group that have in this industry already a very interesting size. We have a premium on size. So meaning that the first step is going to the existing customer, but because of the size of the group and the new technologies we have, adding the three entities together, we can bid for new machinery. And this is very interesting. And this is already working today. So we are working on group-wide projects where we are currently bidding several projects, but one is a very interesting one is bidding for a project that is a company based in the US, needed the key technology of Portugal, the robotic technology we have in Switzerland, and automation skills of the US. And this is a very interesting project, also in terms of size, bigger than we can do in the past. And the reason why we can today bid for such machinery and say, hey, we are one of the potential partner to build the machine is because of the technology within the group and because of the size.
Basically, the IR group, we have a growth strategy for the future. And it was from the beginning also part of my investment thesis. The group is today roughly 100 people, which is not a huge one, but in our sector is a very interesting size. And especially what we succeeded in doing from the beginning is to, let's say, jump from three companies that were small in the sector to a bigger group and to skip all this risky phase growing the business from, let's say, 20, 30 people to 100 that is usually bound with a lot of risk and with a lot of liquidity problems and investment to really grow the business. So we skip that step. And having today a group that have that size, it's very interesting because we have a size, so we are big enough to be attractive to acquire a bigger machinery project. And this is actually after running the group for a few months, this is exactly what is happening. So we are able to win new customer just because of the size, which is a very easy quick wins, but it was part of the investment. And then what we are doing, but that proactively. So we are using synergies between the entities. So for example, we have great Swiss product that we are today selling mainly in Switzerland, Germany. Of course, having now an entities in the US enable us to sell directly, so to produce and to sell this product directly in the US market. This is one of the examples, but between the three entities, we have plenty of products and competency that that we are going to market in the other part of the world using the entities of the group. The main vision I have for the group and for the industry I'm in, with all the problem we have with the supply chain and moving goods, moving people, I don't trust anymore that having a big factory somewhere in the world, producing machine, exporting the machine worldwide is the future of our business. So my vision of the business is to have a global technology so we can easily exchange drawing, mechanical drawing, softwares, electroplanning, all what you need to build the machine. So we put that all together at the global level, so all the three entities, and then we produce the machine locally. So currently we have three production plants, and of course in the future we are going to expand that too and to have further production plant in the world to stick to this vision.
I think that's a certainty, and it's clear you have a very firm grasp of the industry and the market. I think we touched on how that's helpful when you're searching, having that, building that rapport quickly and knowing the industry insiders, but also you touched on it a few minutes ago. You know, a lot of searchers coming in, they think of the first 90 days or 100 days as kind of do no harm, just learn the business, whereas you are able to see those synergies and potential easy wins, as you put it, right off the bat and kind of get to work because you just, it's so familiar for you. And I think that's probably helped you move so quickly and been very impressive with the search and now take over and run the business. And yeah, I think it's a fascinating industry. Maybe at some point we could have you on again just to dive deep into the industry, because I think personally, I don't know a lot about it and it seems incredibly intriguing and complex. So doing a deep dive could be very interesting. But this has been fantastic, Sebastian. I'm just keeping an eye on time. I know you're extremely busy, so I don't want to overrun. It's been really insightful to hear your story and kind of take some insights as to how you did things. And I think it's a very different, not a different approach, but we haven't had guests on that have tackled such a specific niche with the specific background and very targeted approach in terms of the deal sourcing. So I think people are going to take a lot out of this. And yeah, I do really appreciate it. If there's anything that you would like to leave to the listeners or anywhere people can reach you, I know you're busy. I don't want them swarming inbox, but anything you'd like to leave with the listeners, I'm happy to give you the mic and let you share anything you'd like.
No, if people want to reach out, it's not a problem. I'm always happy to help, to talk to people that are in the search, because it's a great thing. So I mean, when you know where the journey will end up, do not start it. So I mean, and this is exactly the search. So you start the journey, but you have no idea where you are going to land. So from 1 year when I was starting the journey of the search, I was motivated by the search. So for me, is you need to enjoy every phases of the search. Of course, the acquisition is the goal, but closing is also the beginning. So it's the end of the search, but the start of the next step. And finally, it's a long-term journey. If you have 2 years of search or 1 or 2 years, and then you run the company for the next year. So, and enjoy all the phase of the search, enjoy the search phase to grow your business, to grow your network, to take contact with a lot of people. Enjoy the closing. It's very emotional, very intense. Enjoy the closing. Enjoy the beginning. Closing is beginning. So enjoy then stepping in the CEO jobs. And then it's a long-term journey. So find a company that is great for you. Don't close on the first one. Find a company that is great for you. And on my side, 1 year ago, I was not expecting ending anywhere. I didn't know what happened. So I started the search. And then what is great is I was never expecting closing a deal that is like that. But dependently on the structures of the deal, this whole journey and search from fund model enables me to exactly finally create the company I was looking for. So I was not able, let's say, I failed to identify a company like this one company, but I had the chance to create it by myself. And today I'm really happy to be here where I am with my co-investor and also with the support of Novastone that finally lets me the chance to create this group that is not typical search fund, but fine. I mean, it was an interesting opportunity. I was from the beginning really motivated to close that, willing to close that. And this is entrepreneurship. And
for all the guys that are going to listen to this podcast and being in the search position, go for it. It's worth it. It's a crazy time, but it's really worth to go through all these phases.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for that. That's inspirational stuff. I think seeing what you've done can give people a little bit of motivation to fight through those difficult moments when you're searching, and hopefully, you know, like you said, enjoy every moment, the ups and downs, every piece of the journey, even the boring PPM. It's all part of the journey, and you need to have fun at each step. But Sebastian, this has been excellent. Thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it. And looking forward to stay in touch and see how the story goes. And if I pass by Bern, I'll pop in and we can get a coffee.
Oh yes, definitely. Please do that, Paul. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for having me. Yes, very good. And for you too, good luck for the search.
Thank you, Seb.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Buy and Build podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please follow the show on your favorite podcast app to stay up to date on all new episodes. If you'd like to support the show, please share it with others you think might be interested.
You can also join the Buy and Build community at buyandbuild.co, where we plan to share additional resources and ideas with this community. You can also find us on Twitter at Buy and Build Podcast.